Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link to below this interview. Now, Joel, woke up early this morning, you take a look at the markets, everything looked fairly stable. Broad averages were broadly up, and well, it wasn't an exciting day. It really felt like just another kind of slow summer day. But then we recap the last about two and a half hours of trading, and selling has come in pretty much across the board. The dollar's still up, but other than that, boy, oh boy, we're seeing, again, markets down. We now have the NASDAQ down over 2%, and again, that opened up for the day. The S&P, that's down 1.25%. That was up again earlier in the day, and everything else across the board. You look at commodities, you look at really everything except for oil. Oil's slightly up. But boy, oh boy, just a lot of red on the screen again. Was there a catalyst in your eyes, Joel, that caused this selling? Or is this more of just bear market action in the middle of a pretty slow summer?
Good afternoon, Chad and Corey. Thanks for having me. I think you put a touched on a couple different things that are important. Number one, I mean, we came gangbusters out of that expiration on the 17th, a very good week last week. Unfortunately, it was just on punk volume. The big volume has been coming in on the down days. So you'd like to see some confirmation on the upside when you have, you know, the big up days. That hasn't happened. Number two, you know, when you look at the market and it goes through, you know, you do your levels and you look at it and you're like, I just can't find any resistance. But you know it's there, right? You know it's there. And so the market created some resistance in the 3900 handle. Globex session yesterday, it got to 3948. You get up there today, you go over that by 2 points. You got people thinking about 4,000 in the S&Ps. And then the consumer confidence comes in and flushes everyone down the toilet. So you have a double top situation in the market. And then the market turns from selling on strength to selling on weakness. And you just start cutting through that fluff day on Friday. So I think it's a combination of the Richmond Fed. Also, you know, when you're looking at your news wire, you certainly don't like to see Russian and U.S. Oil tankers interacting. We're far from having any kind of resolution that, you know, what's going on over there. So a lot of combination of things. The bottom line is, you know, we're still well above our low of the move, but definitely giving some back today.
Yeah, Joel, it's hard to get any traction in these markets. And like you mentioned, the consumer confidence data came out today and was not a good thing for the markets because most people are still worried about inflation. So when you see that friction in the seas over the oil and a lot of the G7 countries wanting to sanction Russia even harder, figuring that their sanctions aren't working, they want to put a cap on, you know, what they will buy from oil exports from Russia. That's just spiking the energy price again a little bit today. And if we don't see energy prices come down, I don't see how the inflation picture improves. Is there any route forward you see higher in these markets, even despite the high energy and high inflation prices?
Well, we were discussing this before. I mean, oil is a thorn in our side, right? You've had a lot of the sauce. You've had a lot of the some of the metals come off. They're deflationary, maybe be reflected in the next CPI data. But really, the most important thing is crude oil, right? Because that affects companies. It affects the consumer. It affects disposable income. So there are a couple, you know, beacons of hope with some of the commodities and metals coming down. But it's going to be tough to do it unless you can get oil prices down just because it affects your transportation. It affects your airlines. And overall, it affects the consumer and how much money they can spend at McDonald's or whatever their preferred restaurant is. So oil is a thorn in our side and doesn't seem to be going to be resolved anytime soon.
So Joel, what about the commodities though? Because last week copper broke $4 and kept moving lower. You look almost across the commodity complex and there has been a sell-off, even in the soft commodities, the grains, wheat, corn. Those have sold off pretty hard too, and those kept rising. In a way, I realize that this is not going to be good for economic data, or most likely that's what these commodities are telling us. But there's a chance that it could also help, again, with rising costs for the consumer broadly. How are you balancing out this weakness now that has finally come into the commodity sector.
Can you say crowded trade?
It felt that way. It was the only thing that people seem to be making money with, right?
Yeah. And that's what happens when you get into a crowded trade, right? No one wants to head for the exits. Similar with the utilities, right? We talked for weeks. Why are the utilities going up? Why are the utilities going up? Interest rates are going up, right? They did the flush in it. So commodities are volatile. You have your hedgers out there. Your hedgers are selling on the way up, and they're not buying on the way down. So you create a market dynamic there where you have, you know, the speculators and the commercials buying, you know, on the way up, pushing it higher. And the hedgers are just saying, sold to you, sold to you, sold to you. And then when the speculators need to sell, the hedgies aren't buying. They're not buying back their hedge. They hold their, you know, they have their hedge. They locked in, you know, what they have. So there's there. So it's just market dynamics, market structure. And that's what happened with the commodity trade. You know, you can pick your spots, you can look for a rebound, but you know, and I've talked about this on before, you know, when wheat went to nearly $13 and then you get down to $9, everyone was a winner on the way up, right? 10, 10.50, 11, 11.50, 12, 12.15. I'm gonna get rich when it hits 13, right? But now you have a whole nother dynamic of people in there that are caught on the trade, and you just don't have the same market structure on the rallies because you got people stuck in losing positions.
Yeah, Joel, as the saying goes, markets take the staircase up, but they take the elevator down. So when the tables turn, it can go quickly to the downside, very volatile, the commodities. Well, one sector that's at least showing some signs of life is the banking sector. We saw today that the big four lenders raised their dividends following the stress test. Are you following the financials at all? What do you think of that market?
The term that you wanted to use is up like an up like an escalator and down like an elevator. Is the term that we like to use. I mean, the banks are just lagging. I mean, they have not been confirming this rally at all off the lows of the move. Higher interest rates are supposed to be good for banks. That has not helped the banks. And, you know, it's just so much recessionary fears out there that they're worried that that's going to hit the banks. Also, we fully don't know individual banks' exposure to Russia, not so much to Russia, but to Europe. So there's a lot of concerns. Now, they had, you know, they passed the stress test and they raised their dividend. And I just looked at it as just like a major selling opportunity. I mean, didn't fully participate in a rally. You get news that's, you know, upping a dividend a little bit, but man, they just rung the register. I look at Morgan Stanley, filled the gap, 81.5. Boom. Now it's 79. Wells Fargo, man, that opened up. That raised its dividend the most. That opened up right, had a little rally off the open. They sold that. So it's not going to get rich owning the banks right now until, you know, you got your fear that inflation's either stopped going up at the rate that it is or it's going down. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that data until the middle of the month. The June CPI data is not going to be out until July.
That's the thing. We still have this kind of gap period where it's generally slower news and slower economic data, especially the few data points that actually matter. Joel, within the banking system, though, do you think the banks are in trouble in any sense, or is this simply the market, again, discounting any sort of bullishness that you could try to carry over to really any sector?
I didn't predict the last housing crisis. I will say that there are people probably some over leveraged, you know, in the market, adjustable rates, variable rates at very low levels that are not going to be sustainable at higher prices. So I think that there's some exposure there, but I think I'm not looking for like the, I think it's more of a just recessionary fear than an all out, you know, rout of the banks and a collapse of the banks. That's just my opinion.
Well, Joel, this inflation worry really seems to have roiled just all the markets. I saw Cathie Wood was out today mentioning that she was wrong about inflation. And so when you think about those growth tech stocks and that sector that was so hot in years past, Do you think it's possible that some of those just don't recover, more like a 1999 to 2001 dot-com bubble popping, like where we saw some of the leadership companies fall out of bed but never come back? Or do you think there's a good place for investors to speculate because they're so sold off at this point?
Some are going to come back, Shad. I wish I could tell you which ones. And when I mean come back, I don't know if they're ever going to come back to the levels that they were at. I mean, look how long Cisco took to come back, and that's—I think I own that pig, and that's down. Intel never fully recovered. I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, as long-term investments, so yeah, there's going to be some winners there, but no, not to the extreme. I mean, there's going to be a few hand-select winners coming out of this whole growth thing, but it's not going to be like this broad-based, you know. Return of everything to their glory. I don't see that happening.
So Joel, broadly then, is this simply a shorter's market? Is this the time to be short? Or do you think that still there's too much volatility out there and markets already have sold off so much that playing the short side still could be risky at this point?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, talking the broad market, I mean, there's a lot of individual issues. I'll say you're a heck of a lot better short in here than you were at 36.10, you know, 2 weeks ago. You have a clear level on the upside in the S&P to lean on at 39.60. Unfortunately, that's about 95 handles away as we speak. So you could do any trade. You could do any investment, but you got to have an out. So, you know, I would have, if you would have asked me this morning, I would have given you the daily highs at the conference. I was surprised it got up to 39.48 yesterday. I was even more surprised that it got to 39.50 today. So yeah, I mean, right now, until you can get, if I had a short on and I was playing that thesis, I think you just have to cover it before you get that CPI data. And that might be, or cover half of it. And that might be totally wrong, but there's unknowns in the market. And right now the unknown is when and if inflation's going to come down.
That is a big unknown. And boy, oh boy, it's been sticking with us for a while now. I know the Fed wants it lower. Actually, quite frankly, I think a lot of people want inflation to go lower. It just isn't. And that is the biggest concern. Joel, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.